ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Just 40 years ago, racism was legal in South Africa.
You were a non-person. You were non-white.
I'm Sisonke Msimang. My dad was a freedom fighter against apartheid, and I grew up as part of a global movement to end that injustice. But I don't know much about what Australians did. So join me as I meet the Aussies who took a stand and helped change world history. ABC Rewind Boycott. Search for ABC Rewind on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the music show on ABC Radio National. I'm Andrew Ford. We're listening to music from Raphael Anton Irisari. It's an album that started as an improvisation in a converted psychiatric hospital in Utrecht. And later on, you'll hear how recording in that particular space affected the music. Riccardo Tesi was last on the music show as part of Band Italiana about 20 years ago, actually. Band Italiana, you may recall, is a Tuscan folk band with a strong jazz influence. Riccardo is a virtuoso of the melodeon and an innovator on the instrument and also a carrier of Italian musical traditions, several of them. He's joined with the singer and guitarist Jua, and they're about to come to Australia. They're friends and collaborators, and their album, which is a live album, is called Retablos. We'll find out what that means in a moment, but let's listen to the opening track. It's called Martini on the Rocks.
Come la neve rimane a guardare lontano le cose, facile così tagliare le rose. Rivesti i confini dei giorni, le case, facile però non dire di no. Cosa resiste dell'ombra? Quale animale s'aggira? Cosa ferisce del ghiaccio? Martini on the rocks. Neri son neri pensieri di voci impastate, di bruma, facile così scordare la luna. Impronta come il volo di una piuma. Mostri son mostri pensieri, veri di notte, falsi ieri, facile così dire di sì. Dell'ombra, quale animale s'aggira, respira, cosa ferisce del ghiaccio? ghiaccio non so. Quanto racconta un silenzio, Martini on the rocks.
That was Martini on the Rocks, and it comes from the album Retablos, and it's the work, as I said, of Dua with Riccardo Tesi. Welcome to you both. Welcome back to the music show, Riccardo, because the last time we spoke, I think, was 19 years ago on the stage at the Port Fairy Folk Festival.
I remember I had black hair.
and this is radio, so we can say that you still do.
Okay, so I still have a black.
Yeah, we can imagine.
Yes, no, it was a wonderful festival in Port Fairy. My first, but very, very first time in Australia. It was a wonderful experience. Yeah.
And with a big audience as well. We had about 3,000 people,
oh my
I think,
God,
for that
yes,
show. You had an audience for this album, not 3,000 people, but I can hear people clapping there. Maybe, Dua, you could tell us about the making of the album and why you wanted to do it live.
Because I want to give the emotion of the songs. When you play with people, you play in a different way. So we want to, with Riccardo, we want to show the emotion of the songs.
Okay. And what about the title, Retablos, Riccardo? That's, what does it
yes.
mean?
It's a long story because I know Dua since a very long time, I think more than 20 years ago, because she was produced by the producer of Ivano Fossati, that is one of the best songwriters in Italy. And in this period, I used to play with him, and I discovered he's a wonderful singer and guitar player. We become friends, but we never played together live. I played in her album, she played in my album, which we composed songs
some
together.
Songs together.
Yeah, but never played live together. So 2 years ago, I was invited to Peru in Lima for a concert, two concerts in a festival. And it was the occasion to play with Dua. And our very, very first concert was in the National Theater in Lima. And so we started this duo. We were so enthusiastic that we decided to play together. And so the album is dedicated to Retablos, that is a form of art from Peru.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. This is the reason why, yes.
Is there a Peruvian influence in the music?
No, not really. Just a wonderful souvenir. Yeah, suggestion. Yes, but next one will be dedicated to Australia. So
okay.
Ah,
good. So you recorded while you're here, Dua. Tell us, how did you two find each other?
We met 20 years ago in Mantova, city of Italy, in a festival. And I was here for a concert, and also Riccardo plays in this
yes.
festival.
Yes. Yeah.
And we meet because Beppe Quirici, who was my producer and was a friend of Riccardo, present us. And it was the first time, and we also, Riccardo says that we meet together. I play in the Riccardo CD, and Riccardo play in some album. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we
two
go
years.
To...
Yeah.
Well,
remember.
Maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We meet in Peru, and we choose to play together for the new album.
Yeah. And the sound that you've created with each other, it's quite beguiling. It sounds as though it was absolutely meant to be. Did you know immediately that you'd found something?
I love this sound, yeah, because Jua is not only a wonderful singer, but she's also a very good guitar player. So it's interesting to play with her, and the accompaniment of guitar is enough elaborate. It's not so. It's not first degree. It's really very good, and we have a wonderful musical feeling together. Yeah, and we compose some song in few days when we decide to do this album live. We meet us 3 days, and in 3 days we wrote together 4 songs from beginning to the end. So it's very good.
Something we couldn't have done in our own, no? Something that it's so beautiful together.
Yes, yes. And what do you have when you perform and record? Do you have particular roles, do you think? I mean, for example, is Ricardo the engine that drives the music? Is Jua the poet?
No. We haven't role.
No, we just
play together. We have a wonderful feeling, and
we have a lot of fun. Really, yes, a lot of fun. I love to play with the energy of Jua, because she's much younger than me, so I need the energy, young energy.
Or maybe Jua is the engine then.
Maybe. No. Oh, Ricardo is really young inside.
Yeah.
But you used to have, and you still do, I'm sure, have a lot of fun with Band Italiana, Ricardo.
Yes.
So that's important, is it, when you work with musicians, with fellow musicians, that you enjoy yourselves?
Absolutely. With Band Italiana, we played together for 30 years. Last year, we decided to stop. We are still good friends, but the choice on life are different, and we stayed together for 30 years. That is a long time, much, much more long than our marriage. because we are well together. It's not easy to travel together, to stay all the time together. You need to have a good feeling with the other people, and with a musician I play with normally is one of the first things that I choose. Yeah.
On today's music show on ABC Radio National, I'm talking to two musicians who are about to arrive in Australia. They are the guitarist and singer Jua, and an old friend of the music show, Ricardo Tesi, who's a great virtuoso of the melodeon. I'm going to ask you a question, Ricardo, that I asked you 19 years ago, which is, what's the role of tradition in the music that you're making, now with Jua?
This project is much more about song and songwriting and instrumental music. But in my music, there is always something of a traditional behind. It's not evident sometimes, but the way of thinking music very often comes from tradition, yeah.
And Jua, for you?
For me, is a mix. It's put together something different, like songwriting, traditional songs, also instrumental music, and this kind of mix, it's wonderful for me because it's different from other music that I play. With Ricardo, it's a special project we do together.
We play some traditional tunes in the show.
Also, yes, some.
We change a lot. We don't play in traditional way, but yes, we play. For us to play traditional tune or a song from us or from other songwriters is the same. We play the same way in our way. We try always to do a tune in a personal way, yeah.
We've talked to quite a few musicians in just the last few weeks, really, on this radio program about the importance of tradition. And I mean, musicians from Ireland and India and Colombia and Tanzania. And I wonder whether maybe we need traditional music more these days, and whether this is something which started perhaps even back during COVID, when I noticed that a lot of singers in particular were returning to old songs.
There is a phrase, I think is from Tolstoy, that say, if you want to be universal, talk about your village. it's my philosophy, musical philosophy, start from our tradition and to go in the world.
To the future.
To play music of today, but with roots. It's important to have your roots, because this give you a personality. And so I try to do it. For me, I learn it from Caterina Buenos. She was the woman, this folk singer from Tuscany, very important. She teach me to respect, to have to be proud of our roots.
And when you come to Australia, Ricardo, do you find that you're playing for the Italian diaspora? Are the people who come to see you, is there a big percentage of Italians or people with Italian grandparents?
Yeah, they are both. They are Italian people, Italian with Italian roots, people with Italian roots, but also Australian. We played for folk music, folk public, or world music public, and not specially for Italians,
mm-hmm.
But it's nice always to meet Italian, because they need the news from Italy. Yeah.
That's what you bring them. Yeah. I'm going to ask you, Jua, maybe you would like to choose a track for us to end with. Do you have anything from the album? I mean, I have to say, first of all, that Martini on the Rocks, I disapprove. It's too watery. You have to take the ice out. You can't leave it in. But that, so anyway, I like the song nevertheless, even if the message I thought was unsound. choose us a song to go out with.
We write together this song. I love this song because it's rock time, no?
Yeah.
We can dance with this song.
and everything start because I had a
riff.
A riff of an accordion, and it sounds a little bit rock. And when Jua start to write letters, the text, it was aperitif time. So the most rock.
We need the cocktail.
Oh, I see.
It was a good subject. Yeah.
It's a musical reference. That's good. As long as you're not shaking the martini, because then you dilute it. Anyway, what are we going to finish with?
Max Moon, maybe. Because it's the first song that we play together with Ricardo in this album. And I love this song because it's so romantic and so full of love.
Excellent.
It's
choice.
A love story. It's a love story. Yeah. And when she wrote the lyrics, we spend a lot of time to the text, and we spend a lot of time to decide how this love story was going.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting.
Excellent Thank you very much, both of you, for joining me on the music show. It's really good to talk to you, and I hope you have a great tour here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
I'm off to stir myself a martini.
We can take a martini together if you want.
All right. It's a deal.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. That was Mex Moon, and Riccardo Tesi and Dua are in Australia from Thursday the 26th of March. They start in Fremantle and then they go to Fairbridge, Sydney, the National Folk Festival in Canberra, Melbourne and Creswick in Victoria, and you'll find the details on the Music Show's website. It's the Music Show on ABC Radio National. I'm Andrew Ford. Raphael Anton Irisari is an ambient composer. His music often begins with the guitar, with the guitar strings bowed and bent to create a soundscape. He likes to explore big ideas in his albums, and he's been exploring in particular the emotional impact of environmental destruction and what he calls the myth of political freedom. His latest album is called Points of Inaccessibility, and it takes us online using the geographic idea of the poles of inaccessibility. We'll hear all about this from the horse's mouth in a moment. Let's start by listening to some of his music. This is a track from the new album called Breaking the Unison.
Thank you.
That's Breaking the Unison. It's music by Rafael Anton Irisari, and it's from the new album, Points of Inaccessibility. And I'm very pleased to welcome the composer to the music show. Raf, how are you doing?
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for playing my music in your wonderful radio show.
What we've just listened to is almost a Baroque conceit, that theme that runs like a kind of ground bass through the music, or like a passacaglia or something. And I wonder whether you build the music like a Baroque composer might have done on the bass.
Actually, no. I think if I think how I build this music for this album, it's actually quite counter to anything any classical composer will do, because it wasn't really composed in the sense of like using notation and being able to write something and see it executed by a group of musicians. I basically built all these pieces by improvising on the guitar. So a lot of what you're hearing there started as a long loop that I built with bowed guitar. And I built this at the in Utrecht, at this residency that I did at the former Peter Band Center, which used to be a psychiatric prison. And nowadays it's been refurbished and turned into artist studios. And this is where I recorded the bulk of the album. So I will spend a lot of time there. I spent like a whole week improvising and coming up with ideas and things. And it was very influenced by the location, actually, just to being in this environment. And I built it, yeah, from bowing on the guitar and building the main motifs that you hear. And when I returned to New York, to my studio in New York, I started to add other elements to it, including the bass that you describe. That's from a Moog synthesizer. And I basically took the recording that I did of the improvisation, and then I started to do MIDI mapping to it and building the entire harmony structure by hand. So I will be taking, you know, the MIDI for the bass, and then once I build the basses, then I could start doing the orchestration of it and adding more string arrangements and different elements to it. But it was very much started from a single guitar improvisation.
It's interesting. I mean, that's exactly the opposite way to a Baroque composer bringing in the bass line later.
Yes.
But tell me about the way you think through a piece of music. I mean, I realize a lot of improvisation is involved, but when I listen to your music, I hear it almost in a kind of classical way. It takes my attention, and I notice that all of the changes and developments, if I can use that word, in the music. It sort of lays out an argument, a musical argument, in the way that a classical piece might. Does that make sense to you?
Somewhat, yes. I think, there's definitely a classical influence to a lot of what I'm doing. I just don't think that I've made it in a way where I'm thinking about these things consciously. So, for example, on this record, a lot of it was a result of improvising for hours. I was in at this residency to do an AV work with this Dutch artist called Jaco Schilp. And the idea was that we build this system where what I played on the guitar will make his video images in Point Cloud react and create shapes and all this kind of stuff. And as I was working with him, of course, you know, I have to be constantly making sound, meaning I have to be playing constantly to generate the sounds that are going to make the video react. So as I was playing, I started to notice that the more that I played, the more it kind of made the video really jittery, and it wasn't really kind of doing anything that I really like. And we were both kind of like, oh, what can we do? And I started to strip it down and do more sustained kind of things. So like, you know, I could hold a note for quite long, you know, several bars, measures. And I will notice the video that was a little bit more stable, and it will create this kind of almost like Rush Art-like shapes right in the screen. So that kind of started to guide the entire process of how I was playing the instrument. You know, the instrument I was playing in an extremely minimal fashion, not because I wanted to make it a point of playing extremely minimal music for the sake of making like a musical point, but mostly because I was trying to get the images to react in a certain way and behave in a certain way. And the system, as he's also working on the video, that's influencing me the way that I'm playing. And at the same time that I'm doing that, it's influencing the way that he's processing the video. So it's creating this kind of like closed loop system in a way. But one is not like above the other. We're kind of working in tandem. And that's really what drove a lot of the improvisation aspect of it. So for instance, like in this piece that you just played, where you hear this big distorted guitar part that comes in, the idea for that was literally to break the image. So it will create this kind of like, you know, jittery, breaking apart moment. And of course, I'm playing through looper, so then, you know, it will repeat eventually and, you know, cycle through. And then, you know, I do other things like filter it or apply some effects, but I'm mostly doing all that live. There's no special overdubbing that I did in the studio. The only things that I really added in the studio here were mostly the string parts that you hear in the piece, you know, that I did with like different MIDI arrangements and build them for it.
On today's music show on ABC Radio National, I'm talking to the composer Rafael Anton Irisari about Points of Inaccessibility. Could you tell us about the title?
So we have these things on the planet called poles of accessibility, right? And these are locations that are further apart from another place on Earth, right? There's several places on the planet that are like this. And I kind of read about it several years ago, and the concept kind of really stuck with me. And when I was working on this record, well, actually doing the residency, Jaco and I were talking a lot about digital media, social media, you know, how we relate online these days. And this is kind of the discussions that we were having before I even came to Utrecht to work with him. We had met in Mexico City at the Mutec Music Festival there. And we kind of had this long conversation about connectivity in, you know, in this age, right, how we live today. And when I was in Utrecht, I was kind of, you know, having some time to really think about these things. And I started to think about how in this age that we're so seemingly connected constantly, we are connected 24/7. You get, you know, notifications constantly, you are seeing what your, you know, quote unquote friends are doing, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, we are more and more disconnected rather than connected. It's all this isolation that happens because of the same technologies that are promising connection, right? And so that was my correlation to come up with this title based on this pulse of inaccessibility, as opposed to being like a physical, you know, distance. The disconnection nowadays and the distance is emotional, right? We're not really connected to one another anymore. It's hard to feel any sort of empathy for another person because of this kind of screen mediation that we have. You know, we watch horrible scenes on social media, and we just take him like, oh, okay, another 30 people got killed today. Okay. And it's just like, you know, you just move on from one thing to the other, you know, jump in from 5-second video to the next 5-second video, 10-second clip and whatnot. And this jittery kind of disconnected age really made me think about this and put these concepts together and kind of start seeing these correlations between the way that we currently live and how utterly isolating, but also unsustainable it is.
So how do we hear that in the music?
Oh, I mean, the music itself, it's if you listen to this track that you just played, like Breaking the Unison, you know, you can hear how the melodies don't fully resolve, like, you know, like they're moving in a certain way, but they're not fully resolving, kind of in the same way that, yeah, we're like overly connected, but are we really connected? Are we really, you know, in touch with another human being? You know, these systems that we have nowadays, they're not really, the promises that they're built to increase human connectivity, but is it really doing that?
I hear a kind of in this new album, a kind of almost a sweetness that I didn't hear on, for example, Solastalgia.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think piece number one on the album, and the last piece are they're both in a major key. They're somewhat deceptively hopeful, if you want to think about it in this way. You know, almost like a hopeful melancholy. Almost like thinking about what we had that we lost that could have never been. Futures that never really arrive, sort of mood.
Yes.
I think Solastalgia was more, heavier for the subject matter in a way, particularly if when I look back at it now, what has been now a good 7 years, I think, since it was released. And I look at the world that we live on today. Like, it's interesting you mentioned Solastalgia because we just had like one of the worst blizzards here in New York in recorded history just a few days ago. And it's interesting to look back and think about what my emotions were, what my feelings were when I was making Solastalgia. And I think I was in a much more fatalistic kind of way of looking at things and life in general. And I think with this record, I think that I might have passed all stages of grief at this point and just come to the acceptance part of it. And I think this is what you hear more in the music. It's a little bit more, yeah, it has this somewhat resolved kind of feeling to it. And yeah, I will say it's very different from Solastalgia.
We were talking about Solastalgia. Let's go back further. It's the 10th anniversary of your album, Fragile Geography, and you've put out a remix of it. I wonder whether you, when you look back over that decade, what's changed in your musical approach? What do you hear that's different when you go back to that album?
Oh God, that's a tough one. You know, just listening back to things I did a while ago, it's always, you know, I think as a musician, artist, you know, engineer, whatever you want to call it, you know, any of the many hats that one wears, I think you're constantly evolving and you're constantly finding ways to do things in a way that they keep you not only interested, but also they satisfy your curiosity, right? Like to have the curiosity to explore different ideas, to have the curiosity to explore different, you know, musical ideas or sound ideas or any of this thought. And like going back, I listened to it and it's been a really, especially working on doing like a remaster version of it and not feeling the urge to try to go back to the mixes and try to redo it or try to like rewrite something, or there's a lot of restraint that goes into that just because, you know, you're listening to it 9 years, a decade later, and you, sometimes you wonder like, oh my God, what was I thinking? Like, I really put this out, really? Like, you know, you have this kind of goblin gremlin in your head just kind of giving you that you know, healthy dose of self-doubt. And maybe because I grew up Catholic, it's always been ingrained there, you know, they give you that doubt yourself, guilt kind of thing. But yeah, listening back, it's interesting because a lot changed in terms of my perception of the world, but the world didn't really change. Like, it's been pretty much bad to say the least since 2015, 2016. It's been like this kind of almost like going on a slope downhill and you never reach the bottom of it. Like, it, you know, to go back up, it just seems like it just keeps going down and down and down. And I think the real thing that's changed is how I react to that and how I perceive the world and how I choose to engage with it. I think that's the better or the word that I'm really looking for, you know, how I choose to engage with it, you know, how I let it affect me, how I let me react, and how I think when I think of a Fragile Geography era, I had a very rough time around that time, and I had pretty much completely lost my faith in people, altogether for a number of reasons. But at the same time, other things happened that made me regain my faith in people as well. So it was a bit of like this duality to it, you know. And I think that definitely impacted a lot of the music and how it moves. And, you have a very like aggressive dark pieces, like Reprisal, for example, very, very intense kind of thing. And then you have other things like Persistence, where are more uplifting, hopeful in some sort of way. And then you have other things that are extremely melancholic, like Displacement or Secretly Wishing for Rain, you know, my ode to Seattle and the life I had in Seattle. So it's definitely interesting looking back to it.
It's been very interesting talking to you. Thank you very much indeed, Rafael Anton Irisari, for being my guest on The Music Show. I hope we catch up again.
Thank you so much for having me. We'll be right back.
Empire Systems by Rafael Anton Irisari. That comes from his album Fragile Geography, which came out 10 years ago. His new album, Points of Inaccessibility, is out now. On the next music show, there have been lots of writers who've written about Bob Dylan, lots and lots of them, and they've written about the words on the whole. But we're going to be talking on the next show to Stephen Rings, who has written a very good book about Bob Dylan's music, about the sound of Dylan. The book is called What Did You Hear?
I heard one person starve, I heard many people laughing, heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter, and it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard. Who did you meet, my blue-eyed son? Who did you meet, my darling young one? I met a young child beside a dead pony. I met a white man who walked a black dog. I met a young woman whose body was burning. Gave me a rainbow. I met one man who was wounded in love. I met another man who was wounded in hatred. It's a heart. It's a heart. It's a heart.